This is the first tape, the one I'm calling the Bleakwood Chronicles. Where am I? I don't know. If you're hearing this, I guess you're out there somewhere, although I haven't seen another survivor in a few months now. Seen plenty of Waynes. Can't get away from the Waynes. I've been on the move, best I can, moving in the light. Things seemed to get less for a while, but soon I sensed I was getting close to where it all happened, where the light came from that day. Things got more and more destroyed. There was more rubble. Soon even the Waynes wouldn't go any further in. I wanted to stop. Didn't want to find out what scares the bogeyman. But I couldn't. Had to know. When I got to the middle, I found the ruins of a small town. Barely even there. In the centre of the town, I found a building. Still standing. Can you imagine? The place was empty. Save for the book. Full of stories, all about a town called Bleakwood. I don't know if that's where I was, but I grabbed it. I ran. I haven't finished reading them yet, but I think that whatever happened started here. These stories, all written in different hand. Don't know what it means, but I'm sure of one thing. If there's an answer, a way back, it's in here. I'm just going to read them out. You can decide for yourself. Curiosity. The road into Bleakwood was rough, all pockmarked tarmac and broken earth interspersed with sections of gravel laid so long ago that its stones had all been subsumed by mud and years. Toby didn't mind that. His 4x4 could handle the potholes, though the fillings at the back of his mouth couldn't. His jaw ached from the jolts and jostles. He should slow down, but he was too excited. The reason for his excitement was wedged into the dashboard, a postcard from a town he'd never heard of. "I hope this finds you well," the scrawled note started. "I found the most wonderful trinket shop, and knowing your tastes, I think you'll simply die." It was signed with a scrawl that could only belong to Terry. Good old Terry, he always found the best places. It was a strange enough hobby, chasing down trinkets from old curiosity shops, but then there were stranger ones. He never understood how so many people these days seem to think staring at a screen for 15 hours a day constituted a hobby. The problem was, he'd been in every trinket emporium, charity shop and car boot within a few hours' drive of his house. He'd bought and sold most of what he'd found in them, but then the objects themselves were hardly the point of it. He loved finding some strange wood carving of a duck for £10 in one shop, loved to take it home and pore over its details, then take it to another shop and sell it for £10, or 12, or 7. The money was meaningless. Occasionally he found something incredible, usually an ancient book, that he kept, but not that often. So when the postcard came, Toby was confused. The village was less than an hour away, but he'd never heard of it. It was there on his old A to Z map book, but somehow he'd never been. It sat in miles of isolated land, surrounded by fields and forests, with nothing to recommend it. It didn't even appear on Wikipedia, let alone TripAdvisor, but it had an endorsement from no less an authority than Terry himself. As far as Toby was concerned, that was like getting the word of God. He arrived in the town under a slate-grey sky, which hardly imbued the place with majesty and wonder, but still, seemed like any other small English town. Buildings of quiet beauty and splendour sat alongside concrete boxes of drab malignancy, with people walking around them with heads bowed by the weight of their lives. The curiosity shop's location was marked on the postcard, but finding it wasn't that hard. The town had a central strip that ran along the main road, with a wide open green on the other side and a thin strip of parking. Strangely, for a town this size in a Saturday afternoon, there were only a handful of cars parked up. Toby took a space at the end and got out. The grey sky issued forth a mist of fine drizzle, enough to stop Toby from taking in the delights of the strip's other shops. Instead, he ducked right towards the curiosity shop, its aged storefront standing back from the modern facades of the post office and the pharmacy, both of which looked a good 100 years newer than the shop he was aiming for. The windows were murky and all seemed dark inside, but when he pushed on the door, the crack of warm light grew to a warm embrace. He stepped inside. Yes, Terry had been right. The shop was not large, but that didn't stop there being hundreds, possibly thousands of objects along its many surfaces. No doubt the average person would walk in here and be overwhelmed by the place, possibly decrying the contents to be tat after a few cursory examinations. But Toby wasn't your average person. Within the first few glances, he'd identified a genuine African tribal mask, some Dalton China figurines, Art Deco ashtrays that were worth a few hundred pounds, and a set of pre-Victorian maps of the empire housed within exquisite frames. Everywhere he looked, he saw another opportunity to spend. He should have taken out a loan first. "Good afternoon," a voice called out from behind the counter, a man Toby hadn't even noticed at that point. Small, squat, aged north of 40, but somehow indeterminable beyond that.
"Wicked out there, isn't it?"
Toby smiled. "Isn't it just? Just thought I'd pop in out of the rain." The keeper smiled.
"Of course. Well, feel free to browse. Let me know if you have any questions."
Toby nodded. The keeper was onto him. Must not have played it cool enough at the sight of all this, but then, who could blame him? Oh well, he couldn't lowball the man, but as he picked up a small globe, ornately carved and at least 100 years out of date, he realised he probably wouldn't have to. The price tag, a tiny yellowed card on an ancient string, said £2. For the first time in his life, Toby wished one of these places had a shopping cart. He was a good few minutes into his search when he found it. Didn't say what drew his eye to it. It wasn't the most enticing thing visually. A small leather-bound book, or at least it looked leather-bound. Upon closer inspection, as he turned it over in his hands, the cover was of an animal skin, but not leather. It had a deep russet hue, its edges well worn with age. Two thin strips of silk bound it, and the edges of the paper inside were gold leaf, or had been. Much of that was gone. He looked up at the keeper, who was watching Toby intently, a grin fixed on his face. "May I?" Toby asked. The keeper nodded. Toby pulled on the old silk. What looked like a knot bound for centuries unraveled with a simple pull. Toby opened the first page. Ink blotted the pages, scratches in an ancient ink barely faded with time. A date headed the writing. June 19, 1676, Bleakwood. The date of the trial draweth nigh. I am afeard. Toby closed the book, his hands trembling. This book was 3.5 centuries old. He should not be handling it with his old, worn hands. And talk of a trial at that time? This could be worth thousands. How much is this? He asked, holding the book up with as light a touch as he could muster. As he held it aloft, it was as though the room shrank away from it, creaking, the shadows moving across thousands of trinkets, nay, history. The keeper took in the change with a wry smile. Toby didn't care, he just wanted the book.
"Ah," the keeper said. "That, I'm afraid, is barter."
"Barter?"
"Yes. You must offer something of equal or greater worth."
Toby's heart pounded. This was exactly what he wanted. Thought he did. He'd love to barter, to bargain, to engage in a dance with a keeper like this. But not today. Today he simply had to have this book. He wanted to throw down money on the counter and flee. The keeper cocked his head.
"Do you have anything to barter?"
"I," Toby stammered. Everything in his satchel seemed pathetic and tawdry compared to the book. He thought he'd be bartering an old carriage clock for a piece of ephemera, at worst. He should have known better. "Curse you, Terry, why did you have to find this place?"
"No?" the keeper asked.
Toby put the book down, hating the sensation of air on his palm as the book left it. He hurried to the counter.
I have...
Emptying his bag out onto the counter only confirmed how pitiful the offerings were. Still, the keeper picked through them, adjusting his eyeglass to pick each one up, making a show of properly appraising them, though they both knew the awful truth. It wasn't enough. The keeper rubbed his smooth chin and shook his head.
"I'm sorry."
Toby sighed. Okay, he could think about this. Come back another day. Brawley knew that book, had been stuck on the shelf for decades. Besides, he knew better than to indulge in impulse. He had to go home. This place was too intoxicating, too.
"Unless,"
the keeper said. "Yes?"
"I can see that this means a great deal to you. Perhaps you could help me with something."
"Anything. I mean, I could try, certainly."
"Come with me."
The keeper turned, heading through a curtained door that Toby hadn't noticed behind him, its plush velvet blending in seamlessly with the rest of the room.
Toby couldn't see any way to get behind the counter to join him, so had to fumble awkwardly until he found a hinge on the countertop. It creaked open as though its hinges hadn't been called into action in some time. The counter was mahogany and heavy. Toby had to strain to hold it up long enough to squeeze himself under. Behind the counter was a mess of tiny boxes and enough dust to fill a Steinbeck novel. Couldn't tarry, though. The sounds on the other side of the curtain beckoned. He put his hand on the silk and paused. The man was gone. Nobody was watching the store. He could run, grab the book, run out the store, get in his car and go. Toby had half turned back towards the shop when another thought struck him. What if the book was only a hint of what was to come? Maybe by selecting it, he'd shown the keeper he was worthy of more. He pushed through the silk. Beyond the curtain, cooler air and darkness. Toby let his eyes adjust to the dark and found himself in a corridor, brick-walled, red brick, crumbling with time. His fingertips brushed the sides of them and found them wet, mossy. A sweet smell wafted up from the far end, a sickly scent that seemed to mask something underneath it, a tang not on the air but felt at the back of Toby's throat. Just a little further to take the book. Yes, that was right. He could take it. The old man was only that, after all. He would take the book and fill the bag with other trinkets, get back in his car and be on his way. Such thoughts were alien to Toby. That was so exciting. The corridor stretched far longer than Toby thought possible, tilting down into the ground. The smell grew stronger, and Toby questioned what he was doing. This was folly, he told himself, but the act of thinking it had no impact on his feet moving forward, his legs propelling him further downward until he reached its end. A red door, though its paint was as peeled off the old wood as it was remaining. Hand shaking, he reached forward to the handle. The door swung open with no sound. Beyond it, the brickwork ended. The expansive walls of the room beyond it hollowed out of the earth itself. The room was round, a dozen meters wide, and empty save for the keeper, the chair, and a stone. "Come in," the keeper said cheerfully. Toby noted he seemed to have the book in his hand. "How would he?" "Sure," Toby said, stepping through the door. The air changed once more, turning colder. "Please, take a seat," the keeper said, offering the chair as though he was a server at a cheap pizzeria. "I don't," Toby said, thinking that he very much wanted not to get into the chair, but then he was sitting in it. It was dark mahogany like the counter upstairs, the wood all knotted and twisted. But it wasn't the chair that drew the eye, it was the stone. Stretching up from the ground to the full height of the ceiling, it disappeared into the earth above, which seemed to be held up by nothing at all. It was thicker at the bottom, bulging outward before tapering inward again toward the top. Toby couldn't have told you what form of mineral it was, but it thrummed with energy, its surface covered in scars and chiseled carvings of symbols, runes, figures. It reeked of ancient malevolence. A thick crack ran down its center, pulsing with light. "The hell is that?" Toby asked. "So, would you like the book?" Keeper asked breezily, ignoring Toby's question.
Sure.
"Do you know why you want it?" Toby looked up at him blankly. The keeper smiled. "Very well. I can give you the book, but I want something in return." Toby's stomach lurched.
"What?"
"Nothing you'll miss too much, though that will depend a little on you."
"Perhaps I should..."
"Go," the keeper chuckled. "No, Toby. You realise you're not leaving this room."
"What?"
"You want the book, yes?"
"Sure."
"Here." The keeper handed it over. Toby turned it over in his hands, marvelling at it. He felt woozy, drunk on the power in its pages.
"Is this..."
"A trial diary, yes. From the early days of Bleakwood settlement. Quite the exciting time. You may read the book through, if you like."
Toby flicked through the pages, rendered stiff and brittle with age. He shouldn't be touching it, he thought dimly. Too precious, and he didn't have his gloves.
"Are you ready to barter?"
"Yes."
The keeper nodded. He stepped forward to the stone and laid his hand on it, closing his eyes as he did, taking in a deep breath.
"The stone will take what it needs from you."
"The stone?"
"Yes, but first you have a choice."
"A choice?"
"Open the book." Toby cracked the book open again. As it fell open, a postcard sat inside its pages, The clean white card in stark contrast to the yellowed paper of the rest of the book. He picked it out with trembling hands. The front displayed a market town, its high street prettier in picture form than when he'd driven into it however many hours earlier. At the edge of the picture stood the curiosity shop. He flipped it over and found the inscription already completed. "I hope this finds you well," the note started. "I found the most wonderful trinket shop, and knowing your tastes, I think you'll simply die." The address side was blank, as was the space for Toby's own signature. "Please," Toby said, looking up at the keeper, who looked back at him with wide, hungry eyes. A grin stretched across his face, pulling his lips so tight they might burst. "Don't make me."
"Oh, I won't make you," the keeper said. "You do not have to do anything, Toby. The barter is yours to make."
Toby looked down at the ground. A wide red stain surrounded the chair. Not fresh, something deeply ingrained in the dust and dirt of the hollow cavern floor. Toby bit his lip, thinking it might free him, might call him back to some reality where this room was just a dream and he wasn't facing off against some totemic. The stone stayed in place.
"Just a name," the keeper said.
"Brian Edwards," Toby replied, the name leaping to his lips unbidden. He looked down at the card and watched as his own handwriting added the name to the postcard, as well as an address and his own signature. Poor Brian. Well, that's what you get for outbidding me on that fox sculpture, Toby thought, wondering what he'd done to Terry to deserve to be the name he called out from this same chair. Where was Terry now? Was he a contributor to the red stain? Would Toby be?
"Please," he begged, "just let me go. I'm sorry."
"Sorry?" the keeper asked.
"Sorry for what?"
"I don't know. Just please let me go."
The keeper frowned. "But you've made your bargain already. Do you not want what is yours?" Terry looked at the book in his hands. Must be worth thousands. Tens of thousands. Yes, he wanted it. On some deep level, he needed it. And he'd made his bargain. All this was for show, surely. Trying to push him to see how much he really wanted it. "Yes," he said, "I want it."
"Good," the keeper said. "Then let us begin." Pain exploded in every nerve ending, like needles entering his skin, his hair, his eyeballs. Blinding white heat, white noise, white fire. It consumed Toby in an instant, so fast that it drowned the scream that started in his throat out by the time it reached his mouth. Wave upon wave of splintering pain as his entire nervous system was shredded. All went black.
When Toby opened his eyes, he found himself back in his car, in the thin slice of parking opposite the shop. Sweat dripped down his face, pooling and dripping off his chin, soaking through his clothes. He was alive. Panting, he looked down at the book in his hands. Already the sweat from his palms was marking the pages. He set it down carefully and stared back at the little shop. What had just happened down there? His stomach turned. Blinking, he found the white light behind his eyes still. He had to get out of here. Turning the ignition, he tried to get his breathing under control. It was over. But somewhere in his head, a voice unlike any he'd ever heard. The image of the stone appeared in the afterburn of white light behind his eyes.
"I'm not done with you yet."
Curiosity was written, read, and edited by myself, Paul Stevenson. Paul Stevenson writes pulp fiction for the digital age. His first novel series, the apocalyptic Blood on the Motorway trilogy, has been an Amazon bestseller on both sides of the Atlantic. His work has been featured on the chart-topping horror podcast, The Other Stories, and his new ebook serial, The Sunset Chronicles, is a dystopian sci-fi thriller that will terrify and delight fans of science fiction and horror alike. He lives in England with his wife, two children, and one hellhound. He is also one half of the All Creatives Now team with fellow horror author Kev Harrison. Check out his work at paulstevensonbooks.com or find him on Twitter at PRSBooks.